Hello, and welcome to People of the Pod, brought to you by American Jewish Committee. Each week, we take you beyond the headlines to help you understand what they all mean for America, Israel, and the Jewish people. I'm your host, Manya Brashear Pashman. A few weeks ago, we re-aired excerpts from our award-winning series, Remembering Pittsburgh, which marked 5 years since the 2018 shooting at the Tree of Life Synagogue. One of our guests in that series has returned today. Marnie Feinberg founded Two for Seder, an initiative to honor her mother-in-law, Joyce Feinberg, who was one of the 11 victims murdered inside Tree of Life. As we approach Passover, Marnie is with us now to share why there's no time like the present to invite first-timers to the Seder table, a superb way to introduce people to the beauty of Judaism, like Joyce often did. Marnie, thank you for joining us again.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we spoke a little about this project when you joined us last fall. We have a little more time now to unpack why this initiative is such a meaningful way to preserve Joyce's legacy. Can you tell us about her Seders?
My mother-in-law, as most mothers and mother-in-laws, she trained me on how to actually hold a Seder. So as you know, holding a Seder is almost like your second bat mitzvah. It's something that you're not just allowed to do. It's a rite of passage. And it's also a very important thing that not only are you trained to do it, but you have to incorporate things from, if you have a partner, from their family, you incorporate things from your own life to your family traditions, and all that kind of comes together in this wonderful, magical night that is, you know, really grounded in the Haggadah. But Joyce was, of course, instrumental in teaching me. My mother lives kind of far away, and Joyce and I actually did Seders together for more than a decade. And they started at her house and gradually kind of came over to my house. But she helped me every single step of the way, to the point where when she wasn't there anymore, I almost didn't know how to do it. And every time I'm thinking about the Seder and making a Seder, it's with her in my head, as it has to be. But all of the traditions that she taught me, we still utilize those, once again, combined with the ones that I learned from my own family. And she is still a vibrant part of our personal Seder.
So was it Joyce in your head still when you founded Two for Seder?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I am a Jewish woman and I can't sit still. I need to do something. Tikkun Olam is kind of almost in our DNA, yes. So I really wanted to not only bring her back, which I think is a natural sort of a feeling, but I also wanted to push back on all of the anti-Semitism that had removed her from my life. And people were constantly coming up to me. I mean, the community in Pittsburgh and the community where I live in Northern Virginia, everybody was very supportive, but they were constantly asking me, what can we do? It took me a little while to realize they did mean, what can I do to help you? Of course, they did mean that. But what they really meant was, what can we do to stop this from ever happening again? I don't have the answer for that. But I thought that Two for Seder kind of came into my mind because I was really inspired by what Joyce always did, that she brought students or faculty, you know, because she was a campus researcher and my father-in-law actually at Carnegie Mellon, he was a professor there. And they always had people who weren't Jewish at the table. And the discussions were always not only very interesting, but you always saw a very different perspective when they participated in a ritual that you knew so well. And it really created bonds of friendship, even with people who I didn't really know that well, which was wonderful. So that's what I really wanted to encourage. 2018 was when she was murdered. So 2019 was the Seder. And I just wanted to encourage every Jew in America and in Canada, because Joyce was Canadian, that they, if they were holding the Seder, invite two people who had never been to a Seder before. Start that dialogue. Invite them to that intimacy of your home and make them part of your family for that one night. And that will really help them understand the joy of Judaism, the happiness, and the reason that we are Jewish. it's right there in the Seder, in every Seder I've ever been to. It's always there. And to share that with someone who is not Jewish starts the dialogue to understanding about the differences between us and the similarities, all these great things, that this is the thing that combats the hate that took my mother-in-law.
These are uncomfortable times. They were certainly uncomfortable back in 2018 when the Tree of Life happened, but they are uncomfortable times again for the Jewish community, well, for everyone really, who's watching what's been going on in Israel since October 7th. What does the Seder offer, and how do you avoid some of the pitfalls that can arise when you do bring people, perhaps of different perspectives, around a dinner table?
Absolutely. I'm glad you asked that question, because my family and Joyce, you know, we feel very strongly about what's happening in Israel. We have a lot of family over there, a lot of friends. Like everyone else, we all know someone in Israel. And it's a part of what's going to happen in your Seder this year. I assume almost everybody is going to do something to remind them about, you know, that the hostages are still not freed, that there are people that are starving but are being helped. This is a difficult situation. It's not a simple, straightforward thing. And the Seder absolutely is a reprieve from that for a moment. I think the idea of the Seder is about reaffirming your Judaism, because it takes you on that journey from when we were a tribe to a nation. It's that little piece in the middle, but it's when you reaffirm your Judaism every year. So it's still important to do it. And it's still important to do it your way. And if you want to have a reminder of the hostages, an empty seat at the table, something on the Seder plate, there's so many different ways that you could do something. I think that all of those things would be absolutely important right now. Something that reminds you that we're doing this not just for our family, but we're going to be doing this for those families that are missing those members right now. So I think that the Seder in general will be healing to some extent for everybody who participates. So inviting someone who has never been to a Seder before, I think it's important. Not only do you explain the Seder, which you really do need to do, you have to explain it before you start, and then they can participate and feel comfortable, but also explain to them that if you are going to be doing something to remember the hostages and all the people that were lost, let them know ahead of time that that's what you're going to be doing. You don't want to surprise your guests. Your other guests will know exactly what you're doing, but the guests who are not Jewish, don't assume that they know. Make sure there's great communication and everything should go very smoothly.
So I appreciate you kind of mentioning some of the rituals that we can do to honor the hostages and to remind the guests that the hostages are not free. But what about guests who come to the table who have been watching what's going on and disagree? They have really strong emotions and opinions about what's going on there between Israel and Hamas. And I ask this because I know Joyce worked at the University of Pittsburgh, as you said. Her husband, Stephen, was a professor at Carnegie Mellon, and they often invited students to dinners and seders. You might have seen the dean of Berkeley Law School has an annual custom of inviting students to his home for a dinner with students. And recently, a group accepted that invitation, showed up, but then got up from the table and pulled out their megaphones right there in his backyard. So it's hard to believe that that level of rudeness is possible, but it does appear to be a real risk. So can you offer some tools or tips on how to avoid that kind of a response, or how to respond if you get that kind of behavior?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting. I think that we feel a heightened sense of that this year, but you know, it's interesting that that is one of the most asked questions that I always get. Is how do I ensure that my guests don't veer into politics, or if they have disagreements or things along those lines? Probably not the first year so much, but the other years we've always had questions along those lines. So my recommendation is that you lay some ground rules ahead of time. So as the leader of the Seder, you're not just the head mom or the head dad, you are the facilitator of what's going on around your table. And while some of us will have 5 people around the table, some of us will have 30 people around the table, and some of us will be in the backyard with I don't even know how many people that the dean had. But regardless of how many people you have, you still have to manage their expectations. It's very important. So when you lay ground rules, it's your choice. You may want to actually have a lively debate. Many satyrs are a lot of fun when there's a lot of debate. And if you know the guest and you know that that's what they're interested in talking about, and the rest of your guests would be okay with it, that is your choice. And you should manage that. But even with that, you might want to say, look, we're going to venture into politics, but we can't talk about X, Y, and Z. Or I'll let you know when we've gone too far. Or, hey, this now's time to bring out the dessert because that'll stop everybody from talking. I don't know. That's going to be your choice. There's the other side of the coin. And this is actually, I live in Washington, D.C., where politics is always quite a big deal. But other politics, right? All sorts of politics. So one of the ground rules we always have at our Passover Seder is to have no politics at all. This is a little island where we're not going to talk about the fact that you might be one party, I might be another party, he's going to be another party, and y'all work for those parties. I mean, it's not like these are just opinions. So one of our ground rules is always, this is a time to focus on, once again, the joy of Judaism, the joy of reaffirming my beliefs and being with my family and really kind of feeling like this is a very, very special time. And I personally have never wanted politics at my table because I want that joy to fall through. But when I've been to other tables, it's been very different. So my ground rules are always, this is a politics-free space. If you'd like to talk about politics, let's go out for drinks after Passover.
So that's a great point about being in Washington. But again, there's a chance that politics will be brought up at every table, whether it's California or Nebraska or Texas or Maine. So if it does get tense, if people ignore the ground rules, for example, any suggestions on what to do?
Yes, actually, we do have a couple of tools in our toolkit. So Two for Seder, if you go to our website, twoforseder.org, we actually have two kits when you hit the sign up button. It's two free kits for you. One is for your guests to kind of set expectations about the Seder, not about politics. It doesn't touch about that, but it's still important. But the host kit actually has 20 discussion cards in it. And I would actually recommend, if you've started out with a little bit of excitement with politics and you don't like the way it's going, or if you want to say, look, I really want to avoid it, but I know this is a lively crew, which, I mean, you know your people, right? So I would actually print them out, put the discussion cards out on the table, and actually start picking up some of them and, you know, send them around the table and start having discussions about them. So they are more about the Seder, and some of them are pretty surface level, like, what do you think about the taste of matzah? And having a discussion about how all these things are cooked with matzah and how crazy that is and how difficult it is and what a genius your chef must be, you know, so you get to compliment the host or hostess. But on the other side of it, there's some deep waters that it goes into to really talk about the philosophy behind the Seder and some deeper things. So you can really choose what you want. There's 20 different discussion cards. And I think when people are having a very tense discussion, if you say, look, I like where this is going, but it's just not appropriate for today, we've got an alternative here. Let's keep talking, but let's talk about these topics. It won't always work, but it tends to work. I mean, most people really, you know, they have strong opinions about many things. And that is what the Seder is for, right? We're supposed to be learning. We're supposed to be growing from each other. So if you can change the topic, if you're uncomfortable with it, the discussion cards are a wonderful tool to help kind of guide that.
And those can be downloaded at the twoforseder.org site, yes?
Yes, exactly. There's a host toolkit, and it's the last 20 pages of the host toolkit.
You know, I'm so glad Ramadan has passed so that any Muslim guests are able to come and enjoy these Seders without the concern of breaking their fast. But I know that a little has been written about how Jewish-Muslim relations have been on edge. And honestly, I have a few Jewish acquaintances who were nervous about attending iftars during Ramadan or weren't invited to as many iftars during Ramadan this year just because of the potential for tension. Are you hearing any concerns about or from the Muslim community? Or are you hearing that people are sadly turning down invitations for similar reasons?
Yeah, I think that, as you said, this is a very challenging year. And if you don't feel comfortable, you're not going to a particular place. And I have Muslim friends, and normally I am invited to iftars all across the month. And I received very few invitations this year, which was interesting. We're still friends. The friendships haven't ceased or anything like that, but the invitations were not there. Part of the reason, when I did ask, part of the reason they felt that they shouldn't be celebrating when people are starving in Palestine. So they actually toned down their celebrations out of respect, which that's a longer conversation, but I respect that and I appreciate that. Would they be coming to my table? I don't know. We have a community Seder, a community Two for Seder that we hold every year. So most of Two for Seder is about home Seders, you know? So the idea of doing it in your home, that is the primary core of Two for Seder. But we've started a nice little thing on the side where we do a community Two for Seder, where everybody, we actually invite interfaith groups. The spirit of Two for Seder is about building a bridge. And I hope, actually, in the past, if you've done Two for Seder before, thank you. But B, I hope that those bridges are holding during these troubled times. And if you can't build them during a difficult time like this, you know, I'm hoping, I'm praying that next year there will be no war and we'll be able to mend some of these fences and you will be able to invite and accept invitations to iftar, invitations to your Seder for your Muslim friends. I think it's important to keep trying. That's one thing that we are obligated to do as Jews. It may not work, but you have to keep trying.
One thing I've noted over the years and the many Seders I've attended is the diversity of traditions and the customs. Some families put an orange on the table and have a glass for Miriam. Others stick to Elijah. Some make sure the afikoman is chocolate. Others play it straight. Some change the lyrics of the songs to fit Beyonce tunes. I won't lie, I've done that. But does that present a challenge to the purpose or the goal of Two for Seder? You know, the goal being to teach a newcomer about Passover. How do you do that when it's, you know, the traditions can be so different?
This is also a very, well, not the Beyonce piece, but that's a very common question. First of all, I want to say I would really like a copy of that, please, for my Seder.
I'll dig it up for you.
Thank you. But that's the whole point, that the Seder is L'dor V'dor, right? We are a link in a chain from generation to generation. And the core of the Seder, the Haggadah, regardless of if you do a traditional Haggadah that is, you know, 4 hours long, starts after sunset, maybe you eat by midnight, you know, if you're doing a modern Orthodox or an Orthodox Seder, or if you're doing a very, very modern Seder, which just has the basic four pieces in it, and TikTok, you're done, I'm starving, it's been 10 minutes. Welcome to my dad, actually, that's the way he does his. But I've been to all different types because, you know, almost all of our Jewish families, we have a variety in our family. We have Orthodox, we have Reform, we have everything in between, right? That's what it's about. It's about the magic of what you bring to your Seder. The Haggadah is going to ground you. You've got the grounding story about our journey to becoming a people. That's the core. But what you do around it, that's you. You are bringing you and your family and all the things that bring you joy into your Judaism, into your Seder. And these things are critical. If you just read the Haggadah and then you walked away, it wouldn't be joyous. It would be, yes, I was here, hi. But the joy behind it is removed. So the idea that, you know, you almost always have children at your Seder, and there's a role for the children. Why is that? There's a role for the adults to teach the children. There's the food. There's thinking about the future. When you sing Eliyahu with the door open so that your neighbors can hear you and wonder what is going on. I mean, all of these things, there's personal ways to put a stamp on those, but we're going to do those. And even if you do it to Beyonce, once again, very excited to hear that, it's really bringing that modern tinge to it. When we're going to hand the hat over to our children, when they do it, they're going to do something different. And they'll be wondering, who's Beyonce? That's okay. That's okay. But they're still going to do the four questions. They're still going to do the Magid. They're still going to do the Eliyahu. All these pieces will still flow. I have proof of this. When I was working to create the community 2 for Seder, I wanted to create our own Haggadah. And I used, of course, Haggadot.com to start off with, but I really wanted certain things that weren't in there. And I got stuck and I'm sitting here staring at the screen and my teenage daughter walks in and she actually wanted to help me right there. I know you don't believe me, but she sat down and she said, how can I help? And I was walking through some of the more traditional lines. I don't know why they always tuck in my heart, you know, where they say, you know, and God with an outstretched arm and outstretched hand and that old language, right? Should I keep it in the Haggadah or should I not? And she looked at me like I was nuts. And she said, of course you have to. You must. It won't be the Haggadah without it. And that really made me feel like this is going to pass down, at least in my family. These words are so intrinsic to who we are. Somehow it gets passed down. It's amazing.
My last question is, who will be coming to your Seder table this year?
So I'm holding 2 Seders, although I'm going to 3. The first one is the community Seder that is being held in Temple Emmanuel in South Hills, right outside of Pittsburgh. And I'm going to be sort of emceeing it. And we're going to be using the Haggadah that we talked about. And that will be, I think there are 3 different churches that are joining and all sorts of different folks. And one of the tables is actually just teenagers. So I'm really excited because, you know, sometimes 2 for Seder is of interest to adults and not so much the younger set. Although at our last community Seder, we had a lot of college kids. We had a huge table of college kids, which was great. So I think that that's going to be a wonderful Seder. The next Seder is going to be the second night, will be at my house. My friend is holding it the first night at her house. Second night will be at my house. We're having 25 people is the current count. Although, you know, it's Wednesday, so somebody's going to have too late of a night or whatever, so they won't be able to come. But we're really excited because this is more, even though there will be some family coming, this is more of like a friend's Seder is the second night for us. So it's going to be a wonderful night. Who's going to be my 2 for Seder? This is, once again, through my daughter. She has a friend who is actually Korean, and her family is going to be joining us. I'm so excited. Her family, they're wonderful folks. And the one thing I'm nervous about is that they are amazing cooks, and I'm not sure if my cooking's going to stand up to their skills. So hopefully it'll all work out, but it's going to be a lovely night, as it always is.
That sounds truly lovely. 25 people. Marnie, you are a brave woman, a brave hostess.
I wish there was one more that was coming, but she will be there in spirit.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you, because I know it's a lot of hard work to put together a Seder, but again, so important. It is such an anchor, I think, for families and preserving our traditions. So thank you for all that hard work that's going into that Seder.
It is my pleasure. And I thank every single person who's putting together a Seder and participating in 2 for Seder. If you've done it before, thank you. If you're interested in doing it again, we've got little kits to help you, but just be you. And it's about inviting new people every year. And that's how we're going to help really make an awareness about what it really is to be Jewish, not what you hear, you know, the negative rumors. Replace those with positive Jewish joy.
Well, thank you so much, Marnie. The website to download discussion cards and toolkits, all the instructions that you need to host a Seder with a guest is at 2forseder.org. Marnie, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a great discussion.
Thank you for listening. This episode is brought to you by AJC. Our producer is Atara Lakritz. Our sound engineer is TK Broderick. You can subscribe to People of the Pod on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, or learn more at ajc.org/peopleofthepod. The views and opinions of our guests don't necessarily reflect the positions of AJC. We'd love to hear your views and opinions or your questions. You can reach us at peopleofthepod@ajc.org. If you've enjoyed this episode, please be sure to tell your friends, tag us on social media with hashtag People of the Pod, And hop on to Apple Podcasts to rate us and write a review to help more listeners find us. Tune in next week for another episode of People of the Pod.